Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council podcast. I'm Jason Dozier. I'll be your host. And today on the program, we have a very special opportunity to talk with Austin Rodas. Austin is the CEO of Dream Nutrition. So we're going to get right to it. Austin, how you doing today?
Hey, wonderful. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Always great, like I said, to have you on the show because, again, we always learn something from Austin when we get you on here.
Hopefully and, it's good information.
Always. Hey, you know the rule of thumb is the first time you're on, well, that's one thing. But if we call you back, that means you've passed the audition. So
perfect.
So let's get right to it. Something that's new on the horizon here for the hemp community, the association with Tractor Supply Company. Tell us what that's all about and what's going on with that, Austin.
Sure. So that's a really exciting deal that we've worked on for a year plus with Hemp Brand Builders and David King and Jamie Petty over there. And so we are one of, I believe, six different vendors that have product inside Tractor Supply stores. Mm-hmm. And they did a cannabinoid hemp product rollout, where we have our own shelf space, we have our own display. It's a really exciting deal. It's we went in initially a little over 200 stores, mm-hmm. and as kind of a test rollout, and we're just gathering data with them, working hand in hand with them on education and really moving, you know, the cannabinoid market into those mass markets for consumers, right? So that's really what we're, you know, our goal is, and our goal has been, is really pushing the product into, you know, these big box shelves and mm-hmm. making it a supplement that, you know, is something that people just grab when they go get their vitamin C or their vitamin D at the store.
So, right? We've got a reputable product in a reputable commercial location, and unlike just going into the gas station and grabbing the 50% off CBD products, which probably have nothing in them of any value at all.
Correct. Yeah, I think you add a lot of validity to the whole industry, right? When you have a Fortune 500 company that does $8 billion a year in revenue, bring in not only one or two products in the hemp and CBD space, but they brought in, you know, 12, 13 SKUs from six different vendors. So mm-hmm. I think that the impact that has on moving the industry forward is exactly what, you know, all of us that have been involved in the project have been trying to work towards.
And that sorry to cut you off there, Austin. That must have been a heck of an undertaking to make this happen, because this is a brand new industry. Stores, retail markets, especially the bigger they are, the more skeptical they're going to be. So that had to be a heck of a feat to make all that happen.
It was indeed a decent amount of work for, again, I think we worked on it a little over a year, but, you know, that's just really where it comes down to, you know, our legal counsel in house, Chad was very involved in the deal, and anytime there was any issues with, you know, legality or state to state, you know, information, we were right on top of that. We were building out, you know, spreadsheets and a lot of different things that just showed information and legal statements and also the ways that we educate and the way that we sell. So yeah, there was a lot that came into the back end of supporting that deal, mm-hmm. but that's really where, you know, you're starting to separate the companies that can handle those types of deals and the companies that are just in it to make a quick buck, which I think a lot of those guys have already kind of faded out, you know, after COVID. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, we're excited to do the work, and we're excited that we're selling to places that require that information now, because that's, again, taking the whole industry to the next level and requiring more demand and support from the actual vendors that supply the products.
And how many Tractor Supply stores did you say the product is available in?
I believe it ended up being around 217.
So that would be nationwide then.
It's in 31 states, I believe. Give or take a few there, but mm-hmm. I think there's, you know, about 31 states.
And how long?
Yeah, it's a national deal, and, you know, working on supplying them and supporting them to be able to take that into phase two as well.
Well, how long has the product been on the shelves already?
We shipped the product in January. Mm-hmm. I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay. And are you seeing the returns on that? Are people picking it up off the shelves? It's one thing to put the product on the shelf, but you need people to pick it up and take it home with them.
We definitely have some sales data. There are definitely people that are using the products. I think we're going to have a really good response, especially seasonally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a store where you have a lot of active people. Mm-hmm. There are obviously, these are farmers and these are agricultural communities that are very active, especially in the summer months. And I think that, you know, that's one thing that we push towards, is having the product in there before the summertime, because I think that's also when we see a lot of demand for natural products that are, you know, plant-based and mm-hmm. good for people, that are going to help them do their job, right? And help them feel better.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, on the financial side, you want to sell as much product as possible. That's the goal. That's why you're there. But on the other side of it, that's just great promotion for the industry itself, the hemp industry, for people, the average Joe, to be able to walk into a Tractor Supply of all places, look over and see a reputable brand, a reputable display of hemp products.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very exciting.
So, Austin, it's been a while since we've talked to you. What else have you been up to? That, of course, took a lot of your time, I'm sure. What else have you guys been involved with there with Dream Nutrition?
We've really, over the past couple of years, focused a lot on private label manufacturing and custom formulations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing with, you know, we've been selling products for 7 years in March. So, you know, we've been around the CBD industry since its infancy. And that was one issue that we always had, was, you know, people that made our products for us, either not testing right or not getting the service that we need, or not having the capability to have flexible MOQs and really just start our brand and focus on, you know, sales, marketing, education versus inventory and manufacturing. So we really wanted to be the private label manufacturer that we never had. Right. So we've been doing a lot of relationship building on that end, and helping support brands, you know, increase their current line with some new SKUs, or helping get some brands off the ground and get some good quality products out. And, you know, also really focusing on some products outside of the CBD specific space, and just staying on our brand image, which is really plant-based medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I use medicine lightly, but, you know, plant-based products and supplements for people, that are going to help them out with what they're looking for, right? So we've expanded a little bit into the mushroom space as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a mushroom supplement out that we've been doing some distribution on, and also looking at some other new products as well. So it's been an exciting couple of years.
Well, obviously, again, Dream has been involved. Dream Nutrition's been involved many, many years with the hemp industry. And before COVID hit, everybody was jumping on the bandwagon. It was picking up a lot of momentum, which was great. But you mentioned earlier, a lot of people have kind of fallen by the wayside during COVID, maybe the fly-by-night operations and what have you. So maybe COVID was kind of good in helping weed that out, if you can stretch it that far and say that. But that was kind of called the green rush, referred to as the green rush. Now that COVID's hit and things have settled down a little bit, and now that the clouds are parting and we're able to get back out, kind of compare what we would call the pre-2019 green rush versus the post-2019 green rush.
Yeah, it's definitely been challenging in multiple ways. And I think one benefit was it kind of weeded out a lot of companies that were, you know, just here for the money and not really caring about their consumers. And for us, I think it really forced us to do two things mainly, which one is to pivot, right? So we have to really pivot our business, and we had to act in different ways. We had to react in different ways. We had to plan differently because, you know, we have a business where, you know, 80% of our sales were direct to stores that are selling to customers, mm-hmm. right? So we had all these wholesale accounts that we've opened up, and then all of a sudden everybody's shut down, right?
Right.
So now you have to pivot, obviously, to that online, to the shipping, the e-commerce space, which we've always been in, but we've, you know, went back and forth between where our focus lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that, and also innovative products. And then also it really allows you as a brand and as a company to see who your core customers are, mm-hmm. because your core customers are not going to those customers don't go to the wayside during a pandemic or when things get hard, or, you know, those are your core customers and you can really see what they are getting from your company. Mm-hmm. So we have our, you know, people that are on a subscription online and they get product every single month. They never stop it. They never pause it. It keeps moving. So as a company, it allows you to really see what those core customers look like. How do you best serve them? And then, you know, it allows you to kind of trim the fat and just focus on what, you know, expanding that customer base and then mm-hmm. also serving the ones that you still have, right? Mm-hmm. And just kind of doubling down on all those actions and those initiatives and the way that you run your company to support that. So it kind of pushed us in those two directions, which is really great for a company to have and for us as leadership to learn those skills and to be able to, you know, still be here and still selling product after a pandemic like COVID, which we're, you know, grateful for in itself.
Right, right. Absolutely. All right. Let's circle back around, Austin. You mentioned earlier Hemp Brand Builders. Let's go into a little more detail on what they do, how that group was organized, who's in the group, and again, just the purpose of Hemp Brand Builders.
Yeah. So we were introduced to them by Jamie Petty. She is involved in that company. Also, David and Dan are some other partners there. And we were introduced to them because of their relationships in a lot of big box and distribution channels. Mm. So really, again, like what we, you know, touched on earlier, was the only way that this industry and these products survive is by just having the mass adoption, mm-hmm. right? Continuously moving mass adoption forward and treating it like another supplement that'll always be on the shelf, right? Mm-hmm. So we started building a relationship with them, and as they did with some other vendors, and they're basically a brokerage firm that they extend services beyond that, and they are really focusing on getting vendors like us deals in those next level distribution and retail shops like the big box. And so
how much or how far, let me ask you, trying to figure out a way to ask this, how long would it have taken somebody like Dream Nutrition to get into the big box stores without the help of Hemp Brand Builders?
It would be hard to put a time frame on it, but it's really, you know, as a company, we have to rely on relationships, right, to mm-hmm. be able to get into those places. Mainly, we can go through their normal process of, you know, they're onboarding a certain SKU one time a year, and they, you know, there's thousands of submissions, and we could go through that whole process. But really, the way to enter big box properly is through long-term relationships and those sales contacts and clients that somebody like Hemp Brand Builders has, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's where you start looking at somebody that's entering a new product in that already has reputation. And then they introduce a vendor like us that also has reputation within the respective industry. And then you just have, you know, a matchmaking service in a brokerage position that, you know, makes the deal work for everybody. So how long would it have taken us? We maybe never would have gotten on that shelf space without those relationships.
Now that's fantastic. Again, we were just talking about the fly-by-night operations that come and go, but then you have folks like that that step in and really take the industry to the next level.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, there's always, you know, we have deals, as with any company, we have deals that we're continuously working on and distribution deals, and we have different relationships, and those relationships take time, you know, and the industry is at a point where it needs to propel, you know, swiftly onto the next stage, and it needs to be, you know, have clear regulations so that a lot of these other, you know, big box retail places will be open to stocking it as well. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a collective effort, right? It takes brands like us that we have our own relationships, and we partner up with somebody like Hemp Brand Builders who has their relationships, and together we can, you know, work with some other vendors and take the whole industry to the next level, which in turn, you know, helps the validity and helps the marketability of the products across all the SKUs and for all vendors, right?
Absolutely. And we've been talking, concentrating a lot here this afternoon on the retail side of things. But let's talk about it, and that's the end product. But to get the product started, where are you guys getting the hemp? And you know, we've got cannabinoids, we've got grain and fiber. Where are you guys getting your product? How are you getting it? What's the process there that you guys have gone through, or have after several years in the industry, what have you settled on? How are you doing that?
Sure. So we grew hemp for 2 years in a row. And we had, you know, with some of the regulation in Indiana on some of the specific products and, you know, a multitude of other issues that we had, we don't grow product. We don't grow hemp anymore. So we have our focus within creating the product is we bring in finished ingredient, right? So we bring in distillate, we bring in isolate, we bring in, you know, water compatible. We bring in all of the ingredients to be able to create the products. And that's really where our focus is. Okay. That's really what we are good at. And Greg Krueger, who makes everything in the lab, is extremely skilled and talented at making the products. And just having the experience that we've had over the past 7 years and actually caring about what goes into the products, we have very good systems, very good access to high quality ingredients, basically preparing for the next step of regulation that's going to be required of CBD brands, right? But that's really where our touch on our product starts is taking those ingredients, doing custom formulations and really doing everything properly with labs and everything from the ground up to be able to create not only quality products, but quality products that are reproducible, consistent, and, you know, work well for people.
And so was the, you said you, for a couple of years, you guys grew your own hemp. Was it just not financially, did it just not make sense to do that?
Yeah, it didn't make sense for us. Our main focus was really for flower at the time, for craft flower. We were not able to do that in Indiana. So that really took a lot of our funding that we put towards farming and rendered it useless, basically. And so, you know, we had kind of planned on wanting to do the whole vertically integrated process of growing and extracting and doing everything. But really, when it comes down to it, if we found that if we can find a lab, which we have, that we use and for our specific ingredients that is an expert in what they do, which is extracting, that's all they do, that's what they focus on. And then that transitions, and that came from a farmer, that's all they do, right? Is they focus on that. They farm, they grow,
right?
They put a lot of time and craft into the product. That goes into a lab, which that's what they do, right? They focus on the lab, their expertise is there, start to finish, all the little, you know, areas that you can have a quality product. They know all of those. And then it comes to us, which is again a sector of the industry where what we do is what we're good at, right? Is making the product, formulating the product, turning that into a finished good and getting that to market properly, right? So we found that, you know, it seems to be a better model for us to trust some different individuals and different partners at each step of the process to actually get the highest quality product out at the end of the day that we can.
Well, plus that makes business sense, because if you are growing it yourself and you have some sort of catastrophe or a problem or a flood or anything like that, you know, then you've got to scramble to find replacement, and then you lose your consistency. So this way you're able to purchase from the same people. If they have a problem, you can go elsewhere. But for the most part, it seems like that would stay more long-term consistency, actually, than trying to grow it yourself and do the extraction.
Absolutely right. Yep, that's exactly what we found.
All right, Austin, fantastic information as always. That's why we bring you on here, and we do want to get you back on in the future. But Dream Nutrition, from the beginning, since I've been involved in the industry, you guys have been a leader. You've been there. I've learned a lot from you guys. So it's great to see people that have stuck with it. Again, we always talk about fly-by-nights. Obviously, Dream Nutrition, nowhere near that category. You guys leading the industry, pioneers, again, getting in the box stores, things like that, so that other people in the future, that opens a lot of doors, or at least we're hoping that opens a lot of doors. So hats off to what Dream Nutrition's doing out there, and you guys always hustling. That's just, it's just amazing that the advances you guys are making there with Dream Nutrition.
Hey, I appreciate that. There's one thing we do. It's we know how to keep it moving. So yeah, I appreciate it.
Always hustling. There we go. Austin Rodas, CEO, Dream Nutrition. Austin, it's been a pleasure, and we're going to let you get back to work. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, Austin, do appreciate your time talking with us today. Once again, that's Austin Rodas. Austin is the CEO with Dream Nutrition. You can find them online. Just search Dream Nutrition. I'm Jason Dozier. That's going to do it for this edition of the Midwest Hemp Council podcast. Until next time, so long, everybody.